Thornton are out at Oberon preaching this morning, so mountains is everywhere. Can't hold them back. And not only that, Natalie and Brennan McClement are in the Philippines ministering over there, which is pretty cool with what they do over there. So isn't that cool? I think it's great. Someone said, what sort of church do you want to be, Rick? I said, a sending church. A church that sends people. That's what we want to do all the time into the world, into wherever God's asked them to go. Is that cool? Just want to highlight men. The men's no BS weekend. No boy stuff. I have a real passion about helping the generations. And I think one of the keys to that is to ensure that we help men become men. You don't have to look too much in news, especially around football seasons. You hear a lot of stories about boys in 25-year-old bodies. Boys who have never grown up, have not become men, have not crossed over the line. In fact, in all cultures except for Western culture, there's actually a rites of passage for men. And we don't have that. As a result, we've got a whole bunch of kidults. They don't act well, they don't respect people, and they live very selfishly. They live as boys. And the reason why we invented this thing called the No BS Men's Weekend is because we don't want to have any boys stuff. BS. No boys stuff. I want to talk to the men about things which are about men, being a man. How do you become a man? How do you help your sons become men? That's what it's about. And we're going to look at the Bible and what the Bible says about it. So if you want to come along, we're camping out. You need to get online, strongnation.com.au, I think it is, and get online and register. It's $50. Last year we did a lot of cooking there. Then we realized barbecue chicken and pizza is 10 minutes away. Why are we cooking? So we're not going to be doing that. We're going to be bringing in our food and stuff like that. But it's going to be a weekend, Friday night, all day Saturday. We come home Saturday night, camping around a campfire, talking about men's stuff. Is that cool? Excellent. Last time I spoke here, I preached a message about, and I asked the question, do you love God? Do you love God? Because God's love for you is given. In fact, there's nothing you can do to stop it. You can hate him, you can deny him, you can just think that it doesn't even exist, but he'll still love you, and he's maxed that out. He can't do it anymore. He just full-on loves you. But that's not the truth about our love for God. That's in our hands, you see, and we're not as reliable as God. So the question was, do you love God? Because if you love God, you'll actually have no problems. You won't be able to help yourself by worshipping him. It'll be indicated by the fact that you worship God. Not only that, if you love God, it'll be indicated by the fact that you obey him. It won't be an issue. You just want to obey him because you love him. And the third thing I've talked about was, if you love God, you'll always have gratefulness flowing out of your life. Just be grateful for things. It won't get you down. And let me tell you, those three things are the things that this world needs more. The reason why I'm preaching on this is because I think that's where the greatness of God lies, is in that very first thing. Do you love God? Christianity without that is a house of cards. It falls over. The Christian life without that falls over. Without having that first thing, do you love God? And today is a bit similar because I want that greater, that's what we're terming this year, greater. I want the greater of God to outwork itself in my life. We've got an exceedingly great God. We've got a God who is alive, who is active, who is loving, who loves the world. But they don't know that. So how do we get it to activate out of us? I believe the promise over our church is this, that we'll experience an exceedingly great God and see the exceedingly great happen within our lives, the greater. So today I want to ask you another question, a bit like the first one. Do you love God? Today's question is this. Do you walk with him? Do you walk with God? See, a lot of people think getting saved is like joining a club. Once you've got your membership, that's fine. You don't really have to rock up. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. But really, the point of salvation is a moment where you begin a journey, not achieve a goal. When you give your life to Christ, receive forgiveness, receive his love, understand his call on your life, Christianity, that's the beginning of a journey. Christianity is not a destination, it's a journey. He's not only our Savior, he's also our Lord. He didn't just save us, he wants to be the ruler over our lives so that we live an amazingly abundant, fruitful, and everlasting life. That's what he wants. In fact, if you look at the Great Commission, go into all the world teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. Make disciples, teaching them to obey. In other words, obey his teachings. Why? Because he's the Lord. He's the Lord. So my question is, do you walk with him? Do you walk with God every day? Is it a practical thing that you do? Because to walk with God is what separates you from a life of destruction. To walk with God it separates you from the average person in life who doesn't have a vision for their life greater than themselves. It is the walk with God that really makes Christianity obvious in your life. John chapter 4, we're going to read this a bit long, but just Jesus speaking. I think he's at the Last Supper at this point. He starts talking to his disciples. Loving me, Jesus said, empowers you to obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior. Interesting, the Greek word there is parakletos, or defense attorney, the one who's with you, beside you. He's your defense attorney, the one who guides and defends and comforts and consoles you. And in the Aramaic, the word Jesus used would have meant the Redeemer who ends the curse is right with you. That's very interesting, isn't it? The Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me, and he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you will know him intimately, because he will make his home in you and will live inside you. Verse 18, I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Soon I will leave this world and they will see me no longer, but you will see me because I will live again and you will come to life again. So when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father and that you are one with me and I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by the Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. Now listen to this. One of the disciples says this. Then one of the disciples named Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, why is it you will only reveal your identity to us and not everyone else? Valid question. His reply is very interesting. Loving me empowers you to obey my word. Live out this life. And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. God the Holy Spirit will live within you, right? But those who don't love me will not obey my words. The Father did not send me to speak my own revelation, but the words of the Father. I'm telling you this while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Spirit of holiness, the one like me who sets you free, he will teach you all things in my name. And he will inspire you to remember every word that I've told you as you walk your Christian journey. How, Lord, why aren't you revealing it to everyone else? He said, basically what he's saying is, I'm putting something in you which will reveal it. I'm placing God. God the Son said, God the Father is sending God the Holy Spirit to dwell within you so the world can see it. Jesus, why aren't you revealing it to them? Haha. As you walk this Christian journey, people are going to see it. That's why the Holy Spirit needs to come. That's what he said. So my question is, do you walk with him? You see, Jesus was so passionate about this that he actually just made sure the disciples heard him say this, don't leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So he sends them out to make disciples when he raises again from the dead. He says, but before you do anything, don't go anywhere. Go to Jerusalem. Don't leave until the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit was sent so that we can walk this journey with him. He didn't just leave us orphans. He said, I'm going to make sure you're cared for. I'm going to make sure that you are equipped. I'm going to make sure you're empowered. So the Holy Spirit wants to come. We read about that. Then on Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes, baptizes them, great things happen, and the disciples become transformers, basically, go out into the world and see the world changed. Interesting thing. One day, Paul was moving out of Corinth and went up into the place called Ephesus. It says there that Paul found 12 disciples, people who had believed in Jesus, had been baptized in water. And he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Interesting thing, the very first thing to ask them, isn't it? We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. First thing he does, he lays hands on them, they begin to speak in tongues and prophesy. And then it says this, very interesting. It says that in the next 2 years he taught them, and in those 2 years, all of Asia Minor was reached. Basically, what I'm trying to get at this morning is this. The reason why the Holy Spirit came is so that we can walk with him. So that we can actually walk the journey that he has before him. The greater call in your life, you don't have to walk it alone because Holy Spirit is with you. So why would Jesus think this is so important? Because it's an exceedingly great journey. These disciples had an exceedingly great journey ahead of them. They need an exceedingly great God with them to do that. Why do I want to preach this today? Why is it so important that we walk with the Holy Spirit? It's because you have an exceedingly great call on your life, and we as a church have an exceedingly great call in our lives, and we need an exceedingly great God in which to do that with. That's simple. So just quickly, I just want to look at a passage in Romans chapter 8, which actually highlights the reasons why it's important to walk with God as a Christian. Every day, have a practice of it. I remember once when I was young, I heard someone preach about they like to walk as if Holy Spirit's walking beside them all the time. So I used to do that. I remember I used to catch a train to work, and I used to have to walk to that train. And I remember walking once, and I just thought I'd grab the Holy Spirit's hand just to. And I've got to tell you, I got into the habit of doing that. And that walk became a treasured time for me because it was a moment of connecting. Now, Holy Spirit's always with me. But that was a time of me connecting with that, knowing that I'm walking with him. It's a bit like God's love. He always loves you, but I've got to remember to love him. He's always with you, but I've got to remember to be with him. Do you walk with him? Yes. So Romans chapter 8, we look at this passage of scripture. Romans chapter 8 is all about walking in the Spirit, having the Holy Spirit walk with you, as opposed to walking in the flesh. Walking in the flesh, Paul actually says, will lead to death, but walking in the Spirit brings life, he says. But Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you didn't receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are spirit, that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So what is this exceedingly great walk all about with the Spirit? What's it mean? Why do we need it? First thing I want to share with you is this. In verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For those that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. I translate it like this. They're the ones who understand that they are children of God. They're the ones who don't have to be convinced because they walk with him every day and he reminds them of that. I want to suggest today, the very first thing about walking with God is this. It stamps your identity. It affirms your identity. You don't have to be wondering who you are. When I was growing up, the whole thing was, when you wanted to flake out on something, was, oh, I've got to find myself. It's a sort of a moment where you sit there thinking, I've got to find my identity. I've got to understand who I am. And I think it's a valid search. But I want to tell you this morning, where you find your identity is only in Jesus Christ. It's only in God. You see, that's where you find your value. In the world in which we live now, identity is a major thing. There's a whole bunch of people setting their identity on very different things to what God sets it on. People set their identity on their size. They set their identity on their color. They set their identity on their gender. And I've got to tell you, they might be all real facts, but that's not your identity. I'll tell you now, if I set my identity on my hair, I'm in trouble in a few years' time, I guarantee it. Let me tell you something. This is one of my prized possessions. Anyone seen one of these? No, kids, it's not a paddle at school. Oh, you wouldn't even understand that, would you, kids? This is a Sykes cricket bat from the mid-30s, 1930s. Pretty cool. Pretty small, isn't it? Pretty plain, wouldn't you think? What do you reckon, Sam? Pretty plain. Look how thin it is. In fact, doesn't seem really worth much, does it? It's probably too brittle to use. It's got cracks on it. It's old. It's not shiny and bright. And I've actually got my cricket bat, which is very poorly used. It's got nice stickers on it. It's nice and fat. And it's well looked after. Hasn't scored many runs. But this one here, you probably wouldn't value it much, would you? You wouldn't use it much because it's old. It's probably not adequate anymore. It's been abused. It's cracked. It's, you know, I bought it for $50 from a guy in New York off eBay. His wife's probably in trouble now because he's probably wondering where it is, and she said, I sold it. It's not worth much until I tell you that it's the one that Don Bradman used. All of a sudden, who does not know who Don Bradman is? Harry. All of a sudden, it changes everything. Because this bat is now very valuable. It is something you want to care for and not just wave around and hit things with, right? What makes it valuable is not what it is or what it looks like or its color or its size. What makes it valuable is who it belongs to and who used it. It's not the one he actually used, but he used exactly the same sort. As if I'd be having it out here, it'd be in a glass case, it'd be in a museum. Value, we put value on so many other things, but when you walk with Holy Spirit, you understand something. I'm a son of God, I'm a child of God, I'm a daughter of God. And he values me greatly. One of the problems we have in our world is a whole identity crisis where people are trying to find themselves. If they only began to walk with God, they realize they're not black, they're not white, they're not red, they're not yellow, they are a child of God. They'll realize they're not short, they're not tall, they're not fat, they're not skinny, they're a child of God. They're not male or female, they're a child of God. And that's what matters, because God has my life in his hands. I handed it over to him, and that makes me valuable. When you walk with God, you actually understand your identity. People can offend you and it doesn't matter. People can say things. They can make implications if they want. They can say, Rick, you're a chubby little white guy, white privileged male. It doesn't worry me because I'm not really that. I'm actually a child of God. How I look doesn't matter. All of a sudden, I'm not trying to be Mr. Groovy. Well, kids think I'm pretty groovy, right, kids? I'm not trying to be. I'm not trying to be someone I'm not. Because I understand the one who I am, regardless of how I act or how what I do, he will always love me and I belong to him. Those who walk by the Spirit of God, they understand that they are the children of God and God sees them as valuable. Second thing is this, let's read on. Verse 15, for you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear. That's interesting, isn't it? A bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I love Abba, Father. It's the Aramaic word Jesus would have used for daddy. Abba. We don't no longer have a spirit of bondage again to fear. The word spirit of adoption actually means the spirit of adult complete sonship. You're actually complete now is really what it means. In fact, in those days in the Roman Greco world, when you were adopted, you were considered much better or closer than the blood children. And not only that, you were given your inheritance straight away. You didn't have to wait for the old man to die. It's pretty cool. You were a complete son. There was completeness in you, is what the word adoption means in the Greek there. Spirit of a consecrated child. You didn't receive a spirit of brokenness, is another way of saying it, but you received a spirit of completeness. Second thing is this. Not only do you know your identity, when you walk with Holy Spirit, you discover wholeness. There's so much brokenness in the world and it doesn't take much. There are so many tragedies, so much brokenness because of tragedies in people's lives these days, and it can affect you for years after years after years. And you know what? A lot of it's pretty rough stuff. Bad things do happen and horrible things can happen in people's lives, and it can really bring brokenness into our life. But what I've found is when you walk with Holy Spirit, he mends the brokenhearted. A lot of people are searching for happiness. And I'm going to tell you something. It is overrated. You don't want to be searching for happiness. What you want to be searching for is wholeness. because there's going to be circumstances that don't make you happy, and that's just part of life. In fact, sometimes sadness is very good. Oh, I just want to be happy. I want to get out of the situation because I'm not happy. Sometimes that's good. But what do you want to make sure in those circumstances that you have wholeness? And let brokenness be healed, and only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can work with you. Galatians 5 verse 1. Let me be clear, Paul says, the Anointed One has set us free, not partially, but completely and wonderfully free. We must always cherish this truth and stubbornly refuse to go back into the bondage of the past. Don't allow the past to dictate our future. Don't allow our past to hold. Don't allow those that pain, that hurt, the things that were said, the circumstances that didn't work out. Let that be healed. And that can only be healed as you walk with Holy Spirit. Allow Him to journey you through it. So many Christians bind their lives up through the pain, through guilt. I think there's basically three things that I know has tied my life up. Willful sin does that, ties me up. Shame, which usually comes from the willful sin, ties me up. And being legalistic about something. They're the things that have tied me up. Galatians chapter 5 is a beautiful passage about how freedom actually is. God didn't, He sets you free from all that stuff. But we tend to bind ourselves up and go back to this bondage, this life of bondage, and we tie ourselves up with have-tos of Christianity and guilt and shame and living according to the flesh instead of according to the Spirit, which leads to sin. And we tie ourselves up. But God didn't want us tied up. He wants us free. He wants us whole. Verse 15 to 17 in Galatians chapter 5, look at this. As you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. New King James says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what it says. Verse 17, for your self-life, the flesh, craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder Him from living freely within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. So then, the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are the self-life of the flesh and the new creation of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit sets you free. Walking in the Spirit brings healing. It's when I let the self, the self part of Rick dominate my life, that's when I get into trouble. That's when I feel broken. That's when I feel bound up. But when I begin to say, God, I'm just going to surrender now. I'm going to let you, Holy Spirit, walk my life. I'm going to be in constant communion with you. That's when it sets me free. That's when I'm able to live a victorious life. It's very interesting. Straight after that passage, he goes into what we call the works of the flesh. Things that happen when you walk. Things that just flow out of your life when you walk in the flesh. When you don't walk in the Spirit. And things like, you know, hatred and murder and jealousy and a whole bunch of terrible things that, you know, no one really wants in their lives. He said that's the works of the flesh. But then he follows it up with this, what we call the fruits of the Spirit. But when you walk in the Spirit, when you allow to walk with God, allow yourself to walk with God every day, what flows out of your life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I spent all my life just trying to do those things. I spent all my, especially my teen years, trying to be good, have self-control, to be good, to show love. But I realized all I have to do really is just walk with the Spirit and those things just flow out of my life. I don't have to try to be kind because kindness just flows out of my life. I don't have to try to be self-control because self-control just flows out of my life. If I learn how to walk with Him. So often, I found myself tied up, bound, not whole, because I didn't walk with the Spirit, walking with Him every day. Then finally, verse 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If they're children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we indeed suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Take a minute, just a moment. Just think about this. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. I'll say it again. This is mind-blowing. I am an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. Which means this, everything that God owns belongs to me. Everything that Jesus displayed is to be displayed in my life too. Wow. So remember, this passage of Scripture, it's all about walking in the Spirit. Not only do you find your identity doing this, not only do you find wholeness in this, mate, you find access into the supernatural world this way. Christianity is not just a religion, it's an experience. Christianity is not just rituals. It's a case of stepping into a supernatural world outside of this natural world in which we live. That's where the whole faith element lies. It's in the supernatural realm. So many Christians are, you know, religiously attending their church, praying, reading their Bible, but missing out on this whole other world of the supernatural. I want to encourage you, church, look for the supernatural. Allow the supernatural to flow through your life. Allow the supernatural to be part of your normal life. Let it be naturally supernatural. It's what we're called to be. I think about the gifts of the Spirit that come when you begin to walk in the Spirit. Paul lists them all in 1 Corinthians. Things like words of wisdom, words of knowledge, words of prophecy, healings and miracles. Things which, for us, we really can't do them. But Paul says are available those as gifts of the Spirit for all of you who have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Why don't we see them all the time? Why don't we see Christians in workplaces, you know, prophesying over people? And I'm not saying, you know, putting them in a chair and pointing at them and with a really deep voice. No, I'm just talking about just speaking life and prophesying God's will over them. Why don't we see people understanding what the knowledge of God is and understanding, you know, this person over here, you've got an illness and I want to tell you that God loves you and he wants you to be healed. Why don't we see that? Why don't we see the miracles all the time and the healings? I'm wondering whether it's because we don't walk with the Spirit enough. We're not in tune with him enough. We sort of put the supernatural to something that might happen at church on at the pulpit, but we don't understand that actually should be active in our lives every day. I honestly believe that as we begin to walk with the Spirit, he begins to show us things. He begins to show us what the supernatural is all about. In my life, what I have experienced, the more I spend time with him and connecting and having my spirit become related more to the Holy Spirit, I see much more happen. I understand more things about God. I tend to have a lot more wisdom. I think that's where the miracles lie. I think that's where the healings that you've been seeking for lie right there. It's in that. It's in the walking with God every day. So my question to you this morning, church, is this. Do you walk with God? Do you understand who you are? Because those who walk with God, they understand their identity, that I'm a child of God. Do you walk with God? Because if you do, that's where wholeness is found. I don't think I could preach enough sermons to make people whole. Only Jesus can do that. Not only that, this. That your life is a doorway through for people to experience the supernatural. The God who wants to bless people, heal them, to move in their lives, to bring peace. You're the access to that if you walk with Holy Spirit. When you look at the book of the whole Bible, the thread through the Bible, you see Adam and Eve blew it by eating the apple. And I'm always fascinated by this. They went hiding, Adam and Eve, after they'd sinned. Now, my thinking is this. The all-knowing God would have known that they'd done it, right? They went hiding, and this is what blows my mind. He still went looking for them. Isn't that interesting? Adam, where are you? I'm hiding. Why are you hiding? Because I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? That's God still wanted to walk with him. In the cool of the evening, he used to walk with them. Even though Adam had disobeyed God, the big no, you did what you shouldn't have done, God still wanted to walk with him. Then you look from Genesis right through all the books. It's this one thread that all God wants to do is walk with his people. That's all he wants to do. You look at all the prophets. They all say the same thing when you look at when Israel kept falling and Israel kept going to idolatry and all these other things. All they said was, turn and return, come back. That's all the prophets kept saying. Turn and return to God, come back. Everything God did was so that God, that he could walk with people. In fact, the Ten Commandments, you look at it. The reason why he wrote the Ten Commandments is because he's on the hill. They were badly sinful. And if they got too close to him, he'd wipe them out. They'd be burned up. So he said, if they do these 10 things, they can come to the bottom of the mountain and worship with me. In other words, the whole Ten Commandments were designed so people could walk closer to God. That's all it was. He was desperate to walk with them. Finally, not even the prophets could do it. So he said, I'm going to have to send my son. He sent his son to deal with this separation issue, that separation of sin. He dealt with it, the shame. It was dealt with on the cross, which we celebrate at Easter. But that wasn't enough either. He didn't just want to walk beside you. He wanted to walk in you. He wanted to be one with your being, and that's what Holy Spirit's about. We're a Pentecostal church. Pentecostal basically relates back to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and filled them. Evidence of speaking in tongues. It was obvious because they were speaking in tongues and they were prophesying. This whole spiritual utterance was happening. That's what we believe as a Pentecostal church. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that he's actually in you and he's walking with you. And that is he's accessible to you. And you can hear his voice. And you can see the miracles flow through your life. Understand this, church. Next time someone's really ill at work, you have the ability to actually lay hands on them and with faith pray and believe that they'd be healed. You have that. And I honestly believe the picture that Jesus has of his church is that. That no matter where you are, you're walking down the street and God shows you through the revelation that that person over there has no friends and is really struggling in loneliness now, then you can actually go up there and meet that need. That's what it's about. Christianity is not about gathering as a church. That's a really great thing we do, and I love doing it. I think it's fantastic. Shouldn't stop doing it because it encourages one another. You know, the Hebrews writer tells us. But what Christianity is starts on Monday, and is active Christians within the society, walking with God, taking God into their workplace, taking God into their schools, taking God into their universities and their homes, and seeing it flow out. And it only happens if we walk with him. The last time I preached here was, do you love God? My question to you is a little bit more of a challenge today is, do you walk with him? Do you walk with him? Do you take that moment of consciousness in a day and realize that he is within you if you've been filled with him? That he's within you. And he wants to show you things. Next time you read your Bible, don't just read your Bible. Say, God who is within me, what would you like me to read? See what he does. See what he says. Will he give you an unction? Maybe next time you've got a spare moment, you don't know what to do with yourself, say, God, I just want to spend time with you. What would you like me to do now? And see what he says and be led by that Spirit. See what he does. Could be amazing. Amen? Just want to pray. Finish off this service. It's been a long one. It's been a great one for the kids in. But if we can jump up there, that'd be great. I'd like everyone just to stand just for a moment. This morning, like I said in the news today, in the political world, I think there's people taking advantage of people who are actually searching for identity. I think our politicians should be ashamed of themselves seeking, leveraging lack of identity. I think they should be ashamed of themselves all over the world, actually. Because people are genuinely searching for it. People you work with, people within your family, maybe it's even you. And you're really seeking identity. Who am I? Who am I? Friend, I want to tell you, it will only be found as you walk with Holy Spirit. Your Creator. It will only be found there. Get to know Him. Get to know His Word. See what he has to say about you. That's where you find your identity. Also, there'll be people you run into this week and you'll witness brokenness. That person who hates you, it's because they're broken and your light sort of annoys them. Your peace annoys them. It's because they're broken. People you know, they've got hurt and pain, and it's because of they're broken, they're bound. Maybe there's some people here this morning and you're feeling that brokenness and pain. I want to tell you the only answer is Holy Spirit in your life. You no longer have a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have a spirit of adoption, of completeness, wholeness. If you're seeking for happiness, friend, oh, it's a hollow search. But if you're seeking for wholeness, that's where you'll find fulfillment. Then finally, the supernatural world, it's the doorway. You are co-heirs with Christ. Heir of God, co-heirs with Christ. And this is the bit where we just have to say, God, I'm accepting what you say here. I accept that I am your heir. Everything that you have is accessible to me. If you need a healing this morning, it's accessible to you. If you need a miracle of circumstance of any sort, it's available to you. If you need breakthrough, it's right there. Maybe you've got someone you know who just needs a breakthrough, and your wisdom that God gives you could come through in the supernatural to them to give them breakthrough. I just want to pray over everyone right now. Just bow your heads. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence here right now, God. Lord, I've preached what I felt you wanted me to do. But you're our God and you're our King, and Lord, we walk with you. Holy Spirit, there are people here this morning, Lord, who have been confused with who they are in this world or their place in this world. Lord, would you show them right now? Lord, also there's people here, Lord, who have been struggling with pain, brokenness, betrayal. Holy Spirit, you know, you feel that pain. Would you just bring the wholeness right now, the healing into people's lives? Would you bind up the brokenhearted this morning to never be broken again? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, would you just tell them how much you love them? Now, Lord, we really want to walk into the supernatural right this moment to never leave it again. Would you help us to be naturally supernatural people who understand in a powerful God who can do miracles and healings? Would you help us to do that? What I want us to do this morning is, if you need the supernatural in your life, maybe you need a miracle right now. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you just need breakthrough of some sort. Just lift your hand up right across this place. And what I'm going to ask is for people to just gather around. Lift your hands up nice and high. Anyone else here need healing? Yep. Okay. Just lay hands on the people around you. You can see with their hands up. And we're just going to begin to pray for them. If you're believing for a miracle right now, come on, put your hand up. We